See, I haven't made a whole lot of progress about my things. It's good to see all of you today. What a joy to be back together with you. I thank Brother Keith for allowing me to come. And you have a fine pastor, and I've met him since he came here, and he's doing a splendid job with you, and he loves you, and I know that you love him. I was thinking about some time ago when I was pastor down at Goshen, one of our members lived over in Ocean Springs. Her name was Frances Hines, and her mother had moved in nearby her there in Ocean Springs, and during that period of time, she found out that she had esophagus cancer. And Frances said to her mother, Miss Louise Smart, she said, "Mother, you know, your birthday is Friday. What is your birthday wish for this year?" And Miss Smart said to her, as she thought about her situation, she said, "My birthday wish is to see Jesus face to face." You know what a wonderful thing it is? The Bible says in the verses that I'm about to read that this is a real, real truth for those of us who know Him as our Savior. In chapter 3 of 1 John, the second and third verses, it says this, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." You know, what the writer is speaking about right here is a relationship. Beloved, now are we as the NIV says, the children of God. He's speaking of a relationship that is not something in the future, but it's a present reality. Not simply a future hope. It's a present reality that has a perfect assurance and not a wishful dream. We are children of God. Not I hope so, I try to be, but I know so. Dear friends, I'm praying today that every person who's hearing my voice has that assurance in your heart. You can say with assurance, "I am a child of God. I am a person that knows the Lord as my Savior, and I belong to Him." And that is so, it is so necessary to have that assurance, because you can't have any peace without it. I mean, you can't know that death has no sting for you unless you know that you are a child of God. There's no witness without it. You can't witness to people about how they can face death when you don't know, have any assurance in your own heart that death has been conquered. There's no strength without it. I can say to you as a pastor who has dealt with and served with many people who are facing death, that the amazing thing about those of us who have a close relationship to God is that in their hearts, now, they have never wished they could die, but they have no fear of death. I mean, a present reality, but yet at the same time, a present peace that passeth all understanding. Because they know to whom they belong. They know who they are. The provisions of God are ours. Romans in the 8th chapter, Paul was writing about what we as Christians had in verses 16 and 17 in the 8th chapter. He says this, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God." And listen to this. "And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we might also," and listen to this, "be glorified together." We know. What a wonderful thing to be able to say, "I know that I belong to Him. I know that I have the assurance of life everlasting. I know that death is not the end. I know of all the provisions that God has, and they are mine because of my relationship to Him." So I pray today that I'm talking to folks that can say to anyone or at any time that I know that I am a child of God. As John wrote, he said, "Beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God." And I pray that today you have that assurance, that in your heart, in your life, you know without a shade of a doubt that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But it not only speaks about a relationship, but it speaks about a mystery. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be," or the NIV puts it like this, "and what we shall be has not yet been made known." You know, there are many mysteries in the Christian life, mysteries that we don't yet understand. For example, there's the mystery of suffering. We don't know why some people have to endure terrible suffering, go through a time of great trials and tribulation, but they do. And God, we know, has a purpose. We don't know what the purpose is. We don't know what has happened or why it comes, but God has a purpose. But another mystery is the mystery of heaven and life after death. There are many mysteries about what will happen in the life to come. Some of them the Bible gives us, but so many things are unanswered. So many things we don't know about. But there's one thing that remains, one truth that we know, and that is, as he said there, "it has not yet been revealed, but we do know that we shall be like him." What a wonderful promise. We shall be like him. The knowledge that he has, the abilities that that were Christ, and yet in the good times, you know, we have the bad times, and with that which comes, we have an assurance that we are overcomers, that Christ is greater than anything we might have to face. And so, though it is a mystery, there are things we don't know, there are things we do know, and that is that we are children of His, we belong to Him, and that we are in His hands. I've spoken to a lot of folks who are facing death. I mean, we all face death, the truth of the matter is. But some of us, there comes a time when we know that death is not far away. And yet, for those who know the Lord, there is a peace that passeth understanding. There is a certainty that death is not the end, but life will continue even after death comes. And so we come to those times, that mystery that we have to face, that thing that we have to face in death, the certainty of life after death is ours as believers. And that's the reality. See, he's not only speaking about a relationship, he's not only speaking about a mystery, what would come. People ask me at times, "Preacher, will we know this or we will know that? Will we recognize each other?" And there are a lot of questions, and I usually say to them about, "I think we'll know a lot of things. I think we will be able to recognize people." And they ask me a question about, "Well, will we know if we have loved ones that are not there? What about that?" And I think that perhaps we will, but yet at the same time, we will know that Christ is sufficient for our needs and that He will help us as we deal with those things that we have to face. And so life doesn't end with death, but life just really begins when a person steps out into the reality of heaven. And the Bible says that we have some certainties. You know, we don't know how life will be. We don't know all the questions, but we do know this. He shall appear, the Bible says. He will return. The Greek word that is used there is the word parousia, which means coming, and it means personal appearance. Just think about the fact that one of these days, the Lord Jesus will appear again. I remember, and it's a vivid memory in my mind. I was at the New Hope Baptist Church, and one night I had a dream. And in that dream, I dreamed that the Lord came back. And in just a moment, it was the most real. When I tell you about it, when I talk about it, even now I feel, if I may use the term, chills in my body because it was so real. It was as if it were happening. I remember I had wakened, and in my dream I had awakened, and I was standing there, and all at once a great light began to shine, and whoosh, just like that, the Lord appeared, and there was great rejoicing. And it was so real that even as I talk to you today, I have chills in my body thinking about what a magnificent thing it was, that dream that I had. But I want to say something. That's not just a dream. That was a dream then. But there is the real possibility. There is the truth that one day Jesus will appear. The Lord will come as lightning flashes through the sky. And that quickness, He will appear. And time will be no more. And the time of God will begin. And for those of us who know the Lord, it will be a day of rejoicing. And I pray that every person in this congregation today has that assurance in their heart. When Christ returns, He's going to be returning for you. He's going to be returning as your Savior. He's going to be returning as your Lord, who was resurrected from the grave and lives and gives you the promise of everlasting life. And so who in His resurrection overcame sin and death comes back to welcome us into His presence one of these days. He's coming again. And the Bible says, we shall be like Him. Listen to what Romans 8:29 says. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. You know, I don't know all that. That doesn't mean we're going to look like Jesus physically. But it does mean that we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be free. For the first time in our life, we're not going to ever have to worry about sin again. We won't have to deal with it anymore. We'll be in the presence of God. It'll be a time of righteousness. Sin will be done away with. The temptations that tempt us, that we have problems with, no longer will be present. Not only that, but we'll be free from death. We'll never have to face death again. We'll not have to face sickness again. We won't have to face all those disappointments that come our way. Because God, in His mercy, has given us the promise of life everlasting. We'll be free, free from sin, free from death, free from disappointments. But also, we'll be perfect. Now, I know that we struggle to be like Christ. I know that I do, and I'm sure that you do. I want to be like Jesus. I strive to be like Jesus. But you talk to my wife and she'll confirm the fact that I don't make it a whole lot of times. But I can say this, one of these days, I'll be perfect. We shall be like Him. Isn't that a marvelous thing to know? All the temptations that we have, we'll never be tempted again. All the failures that we have, we'll never have another failure. Sometimes the sins that creep into our life and that break our heart because we've not been true to the Lord, we'll never feel that again, because we will have what we've never had before, a perfect life, a perfect body, a perfect person. We'll be like Jesus. But not only that, but the Bible says we shall see Him face to face. Can you imagine that? I thought about, you know, sometimes we have the chance to see people who are famous, you know, and we think about, whoa, that'd be great to be able to see them. I remember once we went on a ship. Rebecca and I were down on the coast, and we went on the ship, and Elizabeth Taylor was going to be on that ship to see the launching of that new vessel. And we could only see her at a distance. We didn't see anything. But, you know, it didn't particularly thrill me. I mean, maybe I would have liked to see her. I'm sure a beautiful lady. But I wasn't really interested in seeing Elizabeth Taylor, but I am interested in seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days, we shall see the Lord. We shall see Him as He is. Now, we're going to see Him when death comes. We'll go into His presence. But one of these days, the parousia will come. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And can't you imagine that day when the morning breaks, the light breaks, and here comes the Lord, and He's calling all the dead to come arise, some to face judgment, but others to receive the reward because they have placed their faith in Him. What a day that will be. What a glorious day that will be. And as we think about of the fact that He is our Savior and our Lord, and what's going to happen, I think it speaks of a result that's going to take place. And everyone who has this hope in Him, verse 3 says, purifies himself just as He is pure. To have the assurance that we are a child of God is wonderful, but to have the assurance too that we will be as He is, and that is pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when he says we will be pure, what it means is to make us clean. As one would, you know, sometimes I get stains on my clothes working out in the yard, and I try to, before my wife sees them, I try to get them out. And sometimes I work, and sometimes it doesn't work too well. But I just think about when we are cleansed by the Lord, we appear. We are indeed free of stain. There is no sin. There is nothing that we'll have to account for, because we will be have cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, a life free from sin. And not only will we be made clean, but we, you know, the Scripture speaks about to sift something, to make, to remove impurities. I remember I used to watch my mother purify the flour. She would use a little device and she would sprinkle it out and remove all the impurities. And I think about, oh Lord, what a day will come one day when all the impurities that are in us, all of the pettiness of spirit will be gone. The jealousy sometimes that we have, the bitterness that we hold on to, the prejudices that we have, the judging spirit that is ours, the critical spirit that we sometimes carry around in our hearts, those things will be gone as we are facing our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say this about us. You know, here's the thing. We don't have to wait till the Lord comes back to get those things out of our lives and our hearts. Sometimes I remember once there was a member in our church, and when I was down in Gaucher, and he and I had kind of crossed ways, and I think he was sort of bitter toward me, and you know, I thought he was being too judgmental, and things weren't right with us, and he was a good man, and I knew that wasn't to be that way. It wasn't supposed to be between believers. And so I went to him and I said, Joe, I know that you know, I may have done some things that you felt were wrong. I know that you have a resentment against me, and you know, maybe I've said some things about you, and I just want you to know that I want to tell you, I ask you to forgive me, and I want to tell you that I hold nothing against you, and I want us just to be made right. And he said, Preacher, that's right. And so we hugged each other, and we got things right, and never again was there a problem between the two of us. And friends, that's wonderful. We can do that even before the Lord comes. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to be made ready to meet the Lord. But when He does come, all of those pettiness in our life, if we're believers, if we've trusted Him, they'll be taken away. All the impurities will be sifted. Things such as jealousy and bitterness and prejudices and judging and critical spirits, all of those things will be gone. And all of the, we'll be unadulterated. You know, sometimes you get water in your milk and you have to get it out. Metal sometimes gets other alloys in them, and all of those things will be taken away when the Lord comes back. The undivided heart. You know, sometimes we get, our hearts are divided between our commitment to Christ and to other things, and we need to get our life as God would have us to get our life, and that is with purity of thought, with one purpose in mind, and that is to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about the fact that we need to be in a way that people see us and they'll say, you know, that's the way a Christian ought to live. That's the way a child of God ought to behave. That's the attitude that a man who knows the Lord should possess. And I'd like to ask you a question. If we could look at your life, and I could look at my life, what would we think about our relationship to the Lord? The Lord that we serve, the Lord who died for us, the Lord who lived the perfect life without sin, what would we think about our lives? And I don't know about you, but I realize that I come so far short of being what Jesus wants me to be. That lady, Miss Bart, who was her daughter asked her mother, what would you like? And she said to see Jesus face to face. Well, Miss Mark did see him just a few days later after her mother had asked her that question. Miss Mark went home to see Jesus. As a matter of fact, when the daughter called me to tell me about the death of her mother, she didn't say mother has died. She had told me about wanting to see Jesus face to face, and so she said, Brother Billy, mother has seen Jesus face to face, because death had come, but she had passed into the very presence of God Himself. I think about a poem that someone wrote about the death of a believer. Here's what they said. This isn't death, it's glory. It isn't dark, it's light. It isn't stumbling, groping, or even faith, it's sight. This isn't grief, it's having my last tear wiped away. It's sunrise and it's morning of my eternal day. This isn't even praying, it's speaking face to face. It's listening and it's glimpsing the wonders of His grace. For this is the end of pleading for strength to bear my pain. Not even pain's dark memory will ever live again. How did I bear this earth life before I came up higher? Before my soul was granted its every deep desire. Before I knew this rapture of meeting face to face, the one who sought me, saved me, and kept me by His grace. May we as believers know that kind of joy of seeing Jesus face to face. And here's the thing about it. We don't have to die to see Jesus face to face. What we need to do is go into His Word and you'll see Him face to face. What we need to do is bow down on our knees and in prayer you'll see Him face to face. What we need to do is to act as He acts with others, to be those who help and reach out to touch and lift people up, and we'll see Him face to face. For it is in the doing of His work that we see the Lord who died for us, who gave us life, gave us a mission, gave us truth, gave us all that helps us to know God and come to be a child of God. This one is indeed the person that we need to be like, just like Jesus is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that as a believer, we don't just have an assurance that we're going to heaven, but we have a change of heart. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. And so, Lord, we can live a way that we've never lived. We can, Father, relate to people as we've never related. We can, Father, be able to deal with slights and things that people do against us, because Jesus did that. And we can, Father, exemplify to the world what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be like Him, to live like Him, to love like Him, to, Father, be able to stand before others and say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I pray for this church. I thank You for people here in this church who live in that way. I thank You for their pastor, and I lift him up to You in prayer, that Your healing power will continue to rest upon Brother Keith. And I pray that You will continue to be with this church to let them be the light to a lost world. Let them be the light to their neighbor next to them in their home, or the neighbor that lives across the street, or the friend that they work with, or the loved one that is in their family but yet has never accepted Christ. Let them be a light to the lostness of our world. And thank You, O God, for this opportunity to worship our Lord, to lift up His name, to praise Him, and to request that You give us, Father, the strength and the witness to go into a world and say, Jesus saves, and say it unequivocally, to say it in such a way that people know that I believe, that we believe it, and to know, Father, that indeed it is true, that in all things Christ is sufficient. And it is in His name that we lift this prayer, as we pray it in His name. Amen. May God continue to bless you and If you are here today and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to ask you to do this. Think about your life without Him. Think about the lostness of your life without Jesus. And think about the hope that you could have, the assurance that could be yours, the also direction of your life that Christ can give. And today, would you do this? Would you call unto the Lord, O Lord, let me fill you in my heart, because I want to receive you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. And if indeed you call on Him to come into your heart, come forward in a moment when we begin to sing and share with this group of believers that Jesus now is the Lord of your life. There may be some here today who know Jesus as the Lord, but they've allowed their lives to stray away from Him. You're not living that life that brings glory to the Lord and that points to Him, but you want to do that, and you would repent today and say, Lord, forgive me for my carelessness. Forgive me for the things that I've let creep into my life. And would you just come and help me, Lord, to be the person that I know you want me to be, that you died for me to be. Or maybe there's someone here today and you would move your membership, even though Brother Keith is not here. You would move your membership, and, or else if you want to, just make up your mind that when he comes back, you're going to move that membership. But God is speaking to you today, and whatever he says to you, you do what he wants you to do. As we stand to sing our invitation hymn, if you'd come now, brother, and lead us in that, I'll be standing up front to receive you if you come, and may God speak to your heart right now. May we stand, God speaking.
Hymn number 316, Jesus is